now it's the time of Christ. The Jewish people were looking back and celebrating their release from slavery from the Egyptians. That's the time period we're talking about. So when the chief priests and the scribes, they sought how they might kill him. This is talking about Jesus. The chief priests and scribes were the religious crowds. Right? So these are the preachers. These are the professors at your universities. I mean, these are the top-notch people in religious circles. And what are they trying to do to Christ? They're seeking how to kill him. Sounds like a good group of guys, doesn't it? That's why I don't go to school. All right? For they feared the people. Look at verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas. That word Satan also can be translated devil. Some people think that, Judas was, this is saying that he was demon possessed. I don't know, but that idea of devil means treachery too. So Satan enters into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. The interesting is that Judas, the name Judas, means praise God or praise the Lord. It's a weird name for Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. He went his way and communed with the chief priest and the captains, how he might betray him unto them. Look at verse 5. And they were glad and covenanted with him to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Look down at verse 47 now. We're in chapter 22. Go down to verse 47 now. Look what it says. And while he yet spake, this is Jesus. Jesus is talking to his disciples. While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Now that was, those of you that know Middle East, even now, that is a common custom as a greeting, to kiss on one side of the cheek or some both. So here he comes, but Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom this morning. Give us guidance. Holy Spirit, we claim your power. Power of the Holy Spirit to go with a message in the Word of God and touch hearts. The Holy Spirit can do that which I can't, and that is to speak to hearts. We'd ask you that you do it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in this passage, we're told about a man named Judas. As I mentioned to you, his name means the praise of God or praising the Lord. In fact, the name Judas, if you look at that time period and that era, was a popular name. It's not really popular now. Again, I don't know too many guys growing up in high school or back in grade school or even now when a child is born and maybe we're coming down and there's some even now that are expecting, we're coming up, hey, you're expecting a son. And they're like, oh, yes. And you're talking to him. Oh, what name are you thinking? Oh, Judas. I'm like, oh, no. What kind of a freak parent are you? Most of us are not thinking with our beloved children, oh, I've got a son, I think I'll name him Judas. You're like, why are you cursing him? Right? Because most of us think of the name Judas as somebody that betrayed. It means betrayal now. It doesn't mean praising God, it means betrayal. He changed his name almost, the meaning of it. It's easy for us to condemn the treachery of a man who would betray Jesus for money. And most of us understand that it says that Judas went away and he covenanted for a certain amount of money. And when you look it up in the other text, it says that Judas covenanted for 30 pieces of silver. Now you may say, wow, man, he got some silver. That's not really that much money. In fact, that 30 pieces of silver, if you would go to that time era, the Romans and the Greeks, all the people that would conquer would take people into their possession that were conquered, and they would make them slaves. They would make them servants. But you could go, and the lowest of slaves could be freed for, guess what? 30 pieces of silver. Now that astounds me. It astounds me that one of the 12, a person that followed Jesus and was in the inner circle, would sell out Jesus for the price of a slave, a servant. That's why we don't think much of Judas today. But can we honestly say that we have never sold Jesus out? Can you honestly say this morning that, you know, I would never sell Jesus out? I would venture to say that in our life, in my life, if I truly look at it, I would see that I have sold Jesus out sometimes for less. For less. Judas here. Religious leadership had hardened in their deadly determination. If you look back in Luke chapter 19, just a few pages before that, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 47 and verse 48, look what it says. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. But then we find that Jesus, with authority, speaks to them. And then in chapter 20, he gives a parable of a vineyard. And he tells, and he's basically telling the stories of the Pharisees and the chief priests and all these religious people. And he talks about a man that had a vineyard and he lends it out to somebody. And then when the owner sends his son, the people that are taking care kill the son. Now, the chief priests and scribes, I'm pretty sure they got the point. Jesus knew what they were like. Look at verse 19 in chapter 20. It says, and the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. I think they knew what Jesus was saying. You're a bunch of wicked scoundrels that are trying to take me and trying to kill me, and I know it. Let me tell you a parable. And man, he just let him have it. So here is verse 19. And the chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Look at that. They at least have ears. They knew. But then we come to chapter 22. And they find a man, Judas Iscariot. And it says, and Satan enters into Judas, surname Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. This morning, I'd like to give you a few points and try to help us understand this idea of Judas and what I would like you to think about. And there's two applications. There's going to be an application to those that are saved, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then there's going to be an application to those of you maybe who have never accepted Jesus. And I would call you then a Judas. You are denying Christ. You may not be betraying him. But remember this, as Judas betrayed Jesus and Jesus went to the cross, my sins put Jesus there also. My sins put Jesus on the cross. And so, as a Christian, I can look at some principles, but as an unsaved individual, am I acting as a Judas? Am I betraying him? So we'll look at this morning. So first, point number one. Let's go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6. John 12, 1 through 6. It says here in verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper. and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Look at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. This is very costly. Do you see that? Very costly. Most people believe that this spikenard, this ointment, was 1 year's salary. 1 year's salary. But look at what she poured it upon his feet, wiped his feet with her hair. But look at verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence, given to the poor? Oh, look at him. He's just caring about the needy. Oh, man, Judas, what a heart you have. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said. Notice, this is John, one of the disciples later, an inspiration by the Holy Ghost. He's revealed, look at this, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a what? A thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. That's in John chapter 12. We also see in Matthew chapter 26. I have these things marked. If you don't have them, I can just read them in Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read a couple verses. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. This is after that, according to Matthew. Jesus had just had precious ointment put upon his feet. And right after that, then one of the 12 goes to the chief priest and says, what will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Some people have wondered why Judas was picked, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Why was Judas picked as one of the 12 disciples? How could he have been in that? And Jesus, according to the Gospels, when you read it, Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. Why would he do that? We'll talk about that in a moment. But one thing you can mark down, and this is for sure, in your heart and my heart, sin is always subtle. Sin is always subtle. It's always deceptive. In Matthew chapter 26, we see that. In John chapter 12, Satan entices men to act in a way that they consider in their own best interest. In verse 3 of the book of Luke, and I think it's chapter 26 we read, it says, not 26, but in chapter 18 or 19 of Luke chapter 19 and verse 3, as Satan entered into Judas, he was numbered among the 12. It says again, Satan enters into Judas. The same idea is said later of different people, Ananias and Sapphira. Peter comes to Ananias and Sapphira and says, how come Satan has done this to you? Now, this is what I can tell you. You're sitting here and you say, you know what? I like my sin. You don't understand. Sin is something, I understand this. It's that there's some people that have bad sin, but my sin is pretty good. Sin is subtle. Sin is subtle. And do you think that Judas, when he came alongside of Jesus, thought that one day he would sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? I would say no. He did not think he was going to sell out Jesus, but sin in your heart has no good. No good ends. No good means. And you keep sin in your heart. And you say, well, you know what? This is just my pet little sin. This is something I can keep. This is something that I can deal with. Sin is subtle. It's deceptive. And it'll take you like Judas all the way to a cross. But the cross of Judas is not going to bring you salvation. The cross of Judas will take you where he is. And today, Judas is in hell, and he lifts up his eyes, and he cries out to you, don't let sin reign in your body. He cries out and says, sin is subtle. Sin is deceptive. The first thing we learn about Judas's sin is subtle. The second thing, Matthew chapter 10, It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So what do we learn about Judas? Sin is subtle. It's deceptive. The second lesson you learn from Judas is your association with Christ doesn't get you saved. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Did you realize that Judas hung out with Christ for over 3 years? And I believe that Judas today is in hell. Just because you come to church, just because you say, I read my Bible this morning. There's some of you that have grown up in this church. Just because you're associated with Jesus doesn't mean you're saved. Judas was associated with Jesus. If you read this passage, it seems to indicate that Judas healed the sick. Judas cast out demons. I could venture, some people would disagree with me on this, but I think all of America and all over the world, there's guys in the pulpit this morning that are picking up the word of God and they're actually preaching, and they will find themselves in hell someday. Because, hey, they are associated with Jesus, but they have not accepted that they are a sinner. They have not accepted that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he, not me, he washed it white as snow. Just because maybe you were born into a Christian family. Hey, there's some religions, there's some theology out there that says that, man, you're born into a saved family, I guess you might be saved. I don't see that in the Bible. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says that you, with your mouth, must confess that Jesus is Lord, and that he died and he was buried and he rose again. You have to do that. I can't do that for my children. You must do that. So I ask you this morning, is your church going? Is it just so you can associate with Jesus? Well, welcome to the family of Judas. Because Judas was fine in associating with Jesus. But I really believe when you read about Judas, and I've read these texts over and over this week and over the last couple of weeks, and guess what I think happens with Judas? Judas at some point believed that Jesus was setting up his kingdom. What was Judas' problem? He was a thief, right? He held the bag. Oh, Jesus is setting up a kingdom. I'm going to be one of the 12. And when he sets up the kingdom, guess what? I'll take turkey. All right, I'm not talking about Thanksgiving here. All right, some of you are like, oh, turkey, what's up with that? All right, I'm talking about the country. All right, I'll take all of the Middle East. Oh, you know what? I'll just take all the Far East. I'll take China, Mongolia, Russia. Hey, I'm gonna be the man. And then remember when the lady, she broke that ointment and she wiped his feet. And then Jesus said, hey, stop, Judas. Stop whining. Why? Because what am I gonna do? He said, stop whining because guess what's gonna happen? She's anointing me for my death. Uh-oh. And you'll notice in the text right after that, Judas was like, shh. He's not setting up a kingdom. He wants to die. And he went right away to the chief priests and the Sadducees and the scribes. And he said, hey, what do you want? And I'll give you Jesus. Jesus here. And what do we see? Or Judas. In the life of Judas, sin is always subtle. It's always deceptive. Judas, you see, your association with Christ doesn't mean salvation. It's possible to be near Christ, to associate with his followers, even to be engaged in ministry, and not be saved. Then we see number three, God is long-suffering. What do you think you and I would do with Judas? If you read in the text, in Matthew chapter 10, he's introduced, and later on, we even see different things with Judas. And Jesus even looks at Judas a couple of times, and he said, hey, what thou doest, do thou quickly. And then he says, hey, you know what? I have called you, and God has helped me call you, and one of you is a thief and a deceiver. Jesus knew what Judas was. Now you and I, guess what I would do with Judas? I would have thumped his royal melon. I would have gave him a beat down. I would have learned all kinds. I would have learned karate, a jujitsu. I would have done all kinds of, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh man, I would have beat the snot out of him. Oh no, man, I wouldn't have him around me. But guess what? This is a lesson for you and I. God is long-suffering. And I think this also is a lesson for us as Christians. Jesus knows what it means to be betrayed. You think you're the only one that's had somebody stab you in the back? Actually, Judas didn't just stab him in the back. He put a crown of thorns on him. He pierced his side through. He died. He didn't just get stabbed in the back. So think about this. Those of you that whine a little bit. You whine a little bit because here's somebody that's betraying you. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows what has happened. And guess what, Jesus? He was long-suffering. He was long-suffering. He was saying, hey, Judas, I know that you're evil, but guess what? I'm dying for you. I care about you. God is long-suffering. I don't think that I could have lasted 3 years or 3.5 years with a Judas in my midst. And understanding that Judas was there conniving behind my back. But Jesus had business to do. And that was to save your soul and mine. And he was busy about that. So, what do we see in our lessons here this morning? Our lesson is, sin is always subtle. Our association with Christ doesn't mean salvation. God is long-suffering. But then you also see this. God's creation has a free will. God's creation has a free will. Now, what do you mean? When you say, why are you bringing that up? Because Judas here had a choice to make. His choice, I mean, I think if I was God, I would have put him under and said, wait a minute, you're here in my midst. I'm going to make you surrender and bow and submit to me. But guess what? You have a choice. You have a free will. God doesn't make you get saved. No, you've got to come under. Now, God will bring conviction, and the Holy Spirit this morning may be convicting you because you've been a Judas. You've been a betrayer of Christ. You've come to church. You've listened to different songs. Maybe you came and you sang different songs growing up. And you've read the Bible some, but you've never, ever come to the point that you know that your sin put Jesus on the cross. Your sin. Your sin had to be paid for. Not everybody else's, your sin. God's creation has a free will. Satan entered into him. And then Jesus in the book of Matthew said, what you do, do quickly. And he went out immediately, and it was night. The next time we see Judas is in Luke chapter 22, when his conspiracy of betrayal reaches its culmination. And this is what's amazing. It's either in Matthew or in Luke. When Judas comes, he comes boldly. He comes with them marching. And guess what Jesus does? When Jesus sees Judas, he calls him friend. Now, I wouldn't have been calling him a friend at that moment. But he called him friend. God is long-suffering. God gives you a free will. And the last thing we see, let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We see in verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Look at verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, look at the word, repented himself, though it's very important, the phrasing, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? What is that to us? See thou to it. See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, went and hanged himself. And another passage, I'll read it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, says that Peter stood up at that time and he tells them that they need to have another disciple. Why? Well, because Judas had betrayed. It says in verse 17, he was numbered with us, had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. What is believed is that Judas, when he kept the bag, he took the proceeds and he went out and he bought a piece of land. He bought some land with it. That's what this text is indicating. Judas, though, comes to a point that he repents himself of what he has done. And this is my final point this morning. Remorse without biblical repentance will not get you saved. Remorse. Judas, I believe, is in hell. But he said, I'm sorry. If you look at the passage in Matthew chapter 27, he says to the guys, he said, I've sinned. I've betrayed innocent blood. But the word says, and I told you to look at it specifically, he repented himself. Worldly repentance or just remorse. You know what it'll do to you? It'll send you into a dark, deep despair. It'll destroy you. And ultimately, here is Judas. And what does he do? He doesn't just hang himself. In Acts chapter 1, he hangs himself upside down and he couldn't even do that right. Because in Acts chapter 1, we read that he hung himself. And he did it really weird because it says that all his innards gushed out. Now that's a bad suicide attempt. I mean, that's a really bad suicide. He couldn't even kill himself good. Because you know what? Remorse by itself leads to even more despair. And did you notice? This is what the world does to you. This is the devil. Know how good the devil is? That he's conned some of you that, you know what? You don't have to listen. This guy up there talking about sin, what does he know? All I know is this right here, the Bible. The Bible tells me that I'm a sinner. I need to repent of my sin. Jesus died for my sin. He was a perfect human being. And because of his death, I can trust in him and get saved. That's what I know. But the devil is telling you, you know what? You don't need to listen to that guy. You know about that sin. He's going on and on about sin and about sin and about sin. But guess what? The devil is going to get you convinced that you can do it your way. But look at the devil's crowd. When it ultimately hits you that you made a wrong choice, what does the devil's crowd do? Did you see what they did? We don't care about you. Some of you have experienced it. You listen to the devil's crowd. You went along with them. And maybe you took some drugs, or maybe you took some alcohol, or maybe you went into bitterness, or you went into despair. And then you go to the world. And what do they say? Hey, get away from us. You're weird. They laugh at you. They mock you. They scoff you. Because the devil not only will terrify you with sin, he will torment you with it. He will torment you with your sin. And he will give you no relief. Oh, but Jesus Christ, you come to Him. And Jesus Christ, even on the cross, He knew Judas. Judas, he's in remorse. He's saying, oh, I've sinned. I'm going to hang myself. But Jesus Christ, He just went along with it. Why? Because there's a bigger plan. God Almighty had a plan. And even Judas, in all of his wickedness, and Satan entering in saying, yes, I've won. No. Even in betrayal, my Savior wins. Because now I look at the story of Judas, and I look at my Savior on the cross, and my Savior paid my sin debt. Oh, Judas, even in your betrayal, even in your betrayal, you couldn't stop God's plan. This morning, are you denying Christ? Have you been associated with Him? Oh, I go to church. I read my Bible once in a while. I say a prayer once in a while. But have you accepted that your sin put Him on the cross? My sin put Him there. And because of my sin, Jesus died. But Jesus then paid it all. He paid so that you could have a way to heaven. The story of Judas. Judas, one of the inner 12. It teaches us a lot. It teaches us about betrayal. It teaches us about the wickedness of sin. It teaches us that, wait, just associating with good people doesn't get you saved. It teaches us about God and how He's long-suffering and how that God in His almighty plan can even take a Judas and save my soul. Have you trusted in Jesus? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I talked about Christ. I talked about Judas and Christ. A lot of it dealing with the time of His betrayal and then even thinking about Jesus dying on the cross. But let me ask you here this morning, it could be in the balcony, it could be on the main floor, on the wings. And as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit, and what happens is the Holy Spirit kind of pricks your heart. That is the Holy Spirit. When that, it's kind of piercing a little bit. That's that conviction. That's God. It's pricking your heart and you say, you know what? I don't believe that I have ever repented of my sin. Maybe you did a worldly remorse, but you're in despair. Man, you're in depression. When you find Christ, despair and depression leave. Because you understand that in Jesus is my salvation. That goes along with our testimony. It's not in me, it's not in what I do, it's what Jesus did, and it's a finished work. On the cross, He cried out, it is finished. This morning, you might be saying, I am unsure of my eternal destiny. And what I mean by that, you're unsure of where you're going to spend eternity when you pass away, when you die. All of us will die. There's nobody that lives forever. You know that. You've been to funerals. So what about this morning? What about this morning? You'd say, I am unsure of my salvation. God's speaking to your heart. I'd like to pray for you. If you'd say, I am unsure of my salvation, I believe Jesus convicted me. God convicted me this morning of my sin. I've never repented. I've never turned, changed my mind in regards to sin. Now I understand my sin put Jesus on the cross, and that needs to be taken care of. I want to come to Jesus and accept His gift. If you'd say, would you pray for me this morning? Is there anybody like that? You'd slip up your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Yes. All right. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. All right. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. All right. Anybody else? Maybe on the wings. I'm looking. All right. Thank you. Maybe in the balcony. Is there anybody? All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Yep. I see it. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Whole bunch of people raised their hand. I mean, God's convicting you. Remember we talked about that time of invitation, where it's a time where you can come down and someone can take the Word of God and just kind of slowly in a more comfortable pace, just you and one other person going through the Scriptures. We're not trying to trick you, but what we want to show you is that Jesus, He brought you here today for a reason, and that is to find out that Jesus, even though you've been betraying Him, even though that you've been, maybe you say, well, I've been trying to do good. Well, in our own good, we can't get saved, but Jesus already took care of your sin debt. When we have the invitation, I would ask you to step out and come down to this altar. It may be that you're a Christian here this morning. The altar is open for you and you can pray. You can pray and maybe God convicted you of something. Then you pray and take time with Him. But I ask those of you that raise your hand and you say, I am unsure of salvation, that you step out this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for those that raise their hand. Deal with their hearts. Bring conviction. Give them boldness to step out and trust Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed, eyes closed. The piano and organ are going to play. As the piano and organ play, if God dealt with you, I saw a couple raise your hand in the balcony. Come on down. Maybe you have to slip out. Go ahead and slip out. Come down front. Come down front. If God dealt with your heart, you come down front. God dealt with you. We'll have someone meet you.